Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Edition. The Jordan Love hold in continues edition. I gotta get a taller chair in my office, Jesse. Video, I'm like peeking over the top edition. A cavalcade of Cousins subs of the day with Tausch on assignment begins with one of our all-time favorites edition. And this guy's been a tough negotiator before. What's Jordan Love facing as he tries to get what he's looking for from the Green Bay Packers edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Training camp practice number 2 set to kick off at 10:30. Jesse Nelson, who it pains me to say this, but we could have really used you up here yesterday. Sometimes I wonder why you go on road trips and leave the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. Yesterday, we could have used you. We ran into some technical issues. And you were back at the ranch. So we missed your service, but thank you for your service in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. Are you working all week, or should I be prepared for other subs in addition to ones for Tausch?
Friday, I think we're going to be heading up north, so you might want to be ready.
Sounds about right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm glad to hear that. All right. And from, I don't know, from the family Orange Grove and farm, from his man cave den at his palatial estate, somewhere in the state of Florida, it is the soon-to-be, I say next year's class. That's my prediction. Packers Hall of Famer. And I got to do something he did once upon a time today. I got to replace Tausch. He is Brian Bulaga. Brian, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm excited to have you filling in for Tausch as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. I feel like I talk to you a lot these days. Like with Sydney's softball team schedule, I'm not doing Homer's show on Wednesdays. I'm doing it on Thursdays. That gives me a second dose of you. I talked to you last night. You come on our show on Wednesdays as a guest. Like I get a lot of Brian Bulaga.
Yeah, we're discussing or having a lot of conversations these days, which is nice. It's good. I feel like I'm more informed, right? Like, I feel like I'm more informed of what's going on in Green Bay. You're kind of the eyes and ears, boots on the ground, and it helps me stay a little more in touch. So when I read stories or I see stuff that's happening on X, I know I can bounce things off you, and you'll say if it's true or false, which is good for me because then I get answers at least three times a week, which is nice. I don't have to get once a week, is this true or is this false? But it's good. I always have fun when we're on together, so I'm happy to be doing this. I know, where's Tausch? In Indy or something doing the Badgers thing? Is that what he's doing?
I honestly, he never tells me where he's going, which is good because if it's a secret, I would obviously ruin that because I'm so bad at keeping secrets. So I understand why he does that. Although, again, one of my prouder secret-keeping experiences was knowing that he was getting into the Packers Hall of Fame and not telling anyone. So it's possible for me to keep a secret. Of course, when I find out that you're going in, I'm going to blab right away because I look forward to that day. You're not on the farm today. No work to be done, no fields to plow, no donkeys to feed today?
I'm going to do that when we get done. I'm going to head over there when we get done. This morning, it's funny, Homer and I were talking about it with you, about cutting grass. I got up early, I worked out, mowed part of the lawn here, and then I'm going to go out there and start cutting and doing things out there. And then tomorrow I'll finish up here. So, like, I'm just doing a bunch of yard work. That's, like, what my life has come to. Radio, yard work, and being an Uber driver. So, that's just what it is. It's actually quite nice. You know, Homer was giving me a hard time about cutting grass. There's solace in just walking and cutting your grass or out, you know, at the farm. Riding on a John Deere, just cutting the grass. You know, there's a piece about it. I don't know what it is, but it to me, I love it. So it's one of those things that, because I never did it in Green Bay, you just didn't have the time, right? Like, I just didn't have the time to cut the grass because I had a big lot in Green Bay, and I couldn't do it. If I got home from a day, you know, from work, I didn't feel like getting on a rider and cutting the grass. I wanted to sit down, put those compression boots on my legs and watch film and sit there for the 3 hours or 4 hours I had before I had to go ahead and do it all over again. So, I enjoy doing it now. And for me, it's fun. I enjoy it. We'll see how long the fun lasts, but for now it's fun.
So we certainly want to get to the Jordan Love situation, and we will. And we'll use some of your own experiences as a negotiator, hard negotiator, I'm sure, with the help of your agent, Tom Condon. But I do have a couple of questions now because of this lawn mowing thing. First of all, if I remember correctly, your home was in the Howard Suamico area, and it was right by the high school. Like, you would go and I remember it being a big deal that the big first round pick was going to the Bayport Pirates football games and watching them play because you live nearby. Did you hire like a local high school kid to do the lawn, or did you have it professionally done by like Olson Toon type landscaping people?
Yeah, so I'm going to give a huge shout out to the guy. I mean, I would imagine he's still in business in the Howard, Suamico, Green Bay area. It was Ricky B. That was his company's name, Ricky B's. And okay. When Aaron Campman, he owned the house that I owned there before I did. So I bought it from Campman. And he was very, you know, it must be something about Midwest guys. I don't know what it is. He was very particular about his grass as well. And he told me when I bought the house, he goes, hey, you got to keep this guy on to cut the grass. He does an amazing job. He goes, because I like the way it looked. I go, man, you do a nice job on your grass. You cut these. He goes, oh, no. This is who I got. He goes, you got to keep them on. And so I'm like, all right. He was one of the first guys I called when the house was mine. I'm like, hey, I'm the new owner. I want to keep you on. He goes, oh, awesome. I love the property. And so that was the same guy I used my entire 10 years in Wisconsin. But the one thing I did do, which I enjoyed doing it, another shout out to a great Wisconsin company, was I did all my snow blowing, right? Aaron's set me up with a fantastic, you know, snow blower. So I got out there and I did that. My wife would do it when I was on the road. She would get out there, but that's how good the machine was. It was like hot knife through a butter with snow. It was probably the best snow blower I've ever used in my life. I mean, he dropped off this monster snow blower. I mean, when they brought it to the house, it was literally one of the biggest machines, snow blowers I've ever seen in my life. And I used this thing and it literally was just, it took me no time to snow blow that huge sidewalk I had that went all the way to my neighbor, my driveway. It was phenomenal. So I did do that in the winter, but not the grass cutting.
So Aaron's obviously in the past has been a fantastic partner of our show. And my problem, I'm glad you said that Abby did it when you were on the road, because have you ever seen, I know you're a Chicago land guy. You've seen Ferris Bueller, right? You're not too young for Ferris Bueller.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So I have an Aaron's snow thrower, and I think it's probably a similar model to what you had. And we didn't have a lot of snow this year. We had like one really big storm, but I treat it like Cameron's dad treated his Ferrari. And I don't want to take it out because it is so, like, yeah. It's so nice that I don't think I should have it. It's that nice. And so I don't.
It just stays on display.
Exactly. I rub it with a diaper so it's nice and shiny. So I have not actually fired it up yet. And Dan Aarons knows that, and he gives me a hard time about it. And I know his son Steven is doing all the marketing for them now. So they know that I love it so much that I don't use it. And they're kind of like, you're an idiot. What are you doing? Like, this is the whole idea is to use it. So I have promised this winter, I will get it out of the garage. I will then clean it off gently and make sure it's still sparkling and beautiful. But it is, it's like the Ferrari of snow throwers. And I'm a little afraid that I don't belong behind the wheel. I think I'm more like the two guys that steal Cameron's dad's Ferrari and are driving through Chicago, going over hills and flying and stuff. So I got to be a little careful. All right. One other
thing. I'm just going to let you know, when you use it, you're going to go, why did I not use this last year? You're going to, this thing is absolutely amazing. Why didn't I use this last year during the big snowstorm? It would have been so much easier. And you're going to be like, all right, like, yeah, it may be a Ferrari, but I can drive it. I know I can drive it. It's just, I should have done it last year. And that's what, you know, that's how good the machine is. I promise you. But yeah, enough with the, listen, I love Aaron's. I think, you know, Dan and Steven, I still email back and forth them because I was going back and forth with a mower for the property out in my ass. I ended up going with a John Deere because my cousin works for John Deere and all that. So it worked out, but they're a great family, and obviously Aaron's to me is probably the premier product in the Midwest if you're going to be snow blown. I'll just put it that way.
Well, I'm excited now because, you know, I think the world of you, and now it's like having Paula do the show with me because she said the exact same thing about the snow thrower. So I've got two of you now saying you're an imbecile. What are you doing? All right. I do have another question because I want to get to Jordan Love and this process that they're going through, and because we're all guessing now, right? Oh, it'll be done by Friday, or oh, maybe it'll be done before family night. So I want to talk about that, but you talked about your kind of meticulous nature now with your lawn and on the farm. And I really think this is instructive for fans because one of the things that I've always tried to do as a reporter is to make you guys more human to them. And I look at you as a guy who seemingly has made a very seamless adjustment to retirement. And I was going back in my archives looking up stories because I wanted to talk to you about 2015 when you went through, I mean, they let you get to the market
in free agency, yeah. Essentially.
Essentially, yeah.
And that was back when tampering was illegal, theoretically. But you just seem so well adjusted. And I said the same thing about Tausch, and Tausch, you know, basically said, again, kind of like Aaron's and you, I'm an idiot again, because he made it look easy, but it's not easy. And I'm curious now that you're further into retirement, you had your ceremonial retirement at Lambeau Field. Are you in a better rhythm now as a post NFL player? And was it harder than it looked for you to make the transition?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first year truly away from the game was harder than I let on. You know what I mean? And how much football I watched, and how much I would just kind of sit there quiet watching games. It was difficult. I missed it. I still love the game, but at that point, I still loved playing the game. And it was hard, and you have to find something that fills that void competitively and gets your attention and gets, you know, I wouldn't say eats at time, but occupies a lot of time and energy. And to me, I found yard work and golf and things like that. But also with that, I look at the difficulty of it for some guys as if they're not ready, right? Like, I was ready. I knew it was my time to be done. My body knew it was time to be done. So for me, that made it a little easier, you know, mentally, was I knew I couldn't do it anymore. Sure, I could go out there and maybe give you 5 or 6 good games, but I couldn't give you 18, 19. There's no way. My body couldn't hold up, and I wasn't a denier of that. So there were rough moments, you know, mentally watching the Packers play or watching the Chargers play and seeing guys that I played with having fun, winning games. But for the most part, I knew it was my time. I knew I was ready, and I just had to find something to fill that void of competitiveness and meticulousness and all that. And that's kind of where I came across with yard work and caring about my grass. We'll put it that way.
Hey, whatever gets you through retirement, if it's lawn mowing and caring about your grass, well, that works well for you. And hey, Tausch has got a bunch of things that he's got going on, including he's a brand ambassador for a bunch of great brands, including American Family Insurance, and, of course, for Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. So even though Tausch isn't with us today, he is with us in spirit and in recording. He'll tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, and we'll get rolling on our conversation about Packers training camp, which for now is not including their star quarterback under center. So stick around. Brian Bulaga is our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Tauscher here for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And now is the time for a bad dad joke.
What did the window say when it was arrested? I was framed.
All right. Well, dad jokes aside, my mind is on windows because Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin has a fantastic deal going on right now. Pay as low as $18 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Pella completes the installation with no mess, no hassle, and no bad dad jokes, leaving nothing but perfect results behind. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on July 31st. Visit PellaWI.com today to get started.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day.
To let it get away on the road. Brian Bulaga is our cousin sub of the day for Tausch. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Hi, Brian. We'll get into the reliving 2015 in the next segment, but I wanted to just get your immediate reaction to yesterday's news, because I talked to you on Homer's show yesterday, but the fact that Jordan Love is here, he's going to meetings, he's watching practice, he's going to breakfast, but he's not participating in practice. How did you, as an old school NFL player, view this scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not shocked by it. I'm actually kind of, you know, I wouldn't say proud or excited for him, but, you know, it's good that he's sticking by his principles and his guns on what he thinks is right and what he believes he's due and owed from the team. And until he gets that, he is going to withhold services to some degree. And you know what? That's, he can do that. I don't think he's malicious in it. I just think he's looking out for his best interests. And to me, that is totally okay, in my opinion. Like you said, he's going to meetings. He's watching practice. If I had to take a guess, he's probably taking all the walkthrough reps. He's probably taking the night walkthrough reps out on the field that you guys don't get to see and fans don't get to see. That's something that LaFleur kind of introduced his first year when we were there, is that after the meetings at night, we go out on to Ray Nitschke and do a walkthrough. Mm-hmm. I would imagine he's taking all those reps, which there's no risk of injury there. They're literally walk through maybe a little higher tempo than a walkthrough. So he's getting reps in. He's engaged in meetings. To me, there's no issue with what he's doing. And I don't know how long this is going to take. You don't know how long this is going to take. Nobody really does. But I don't see a concern of him not being prepared when week one rolls around. I think he will be. I think he'll get plenty of reps, especially not live action like in a preseason game. I don't know if LaFleur is going to give the ones that are not this year. They did last year. We'll see about this year. But he'll get all those reps most likely in the joint practices, would be my guess, if the contract's done by then, which you kind of said yesterday. We don't know. Like, these things could spiral, right? There's a chance that it spirals and, you know, the two sides just can't come to something, and then it really gets further apart and things happen. I understand that, negotiations. I don't know if it will, but I expect him to be back by the time those joint practices happen, and he's going to take those reps and he's going to get what he needs to be ready for week one. So I'm good with what he's doing. I think it's what he believes is best for him, and I think the locker room has his back on it, and that's really the next most important thing, is not only are you doing it what you think is personally best for you, but that the guys in the locker room support you. And I'm pretty confident that they do in this scenario. I'm pretty confident that the team supports him. So he'll feel, I don't know if he feels good about it, right? Like, I don't think anyone feels good about watching your guys going to practice and you're standing there watching. Nobody feels good about that. But
right.
He feels justified in his decision to withhold until a deal is done. So a couple things, because I think you and I are, as is frequently, but not always the case, of the same mind, right? He's here. I still think the story that Sean Clifford told us about him telling Clifford, hey, be ready, this is what's probably going to happen on Monday, and Clifford coming to the stadium all revved up to be running the number one offense, and I'm going to get in early, and I'm all excited to get to work, and he gets in at 7 a.m., and he looks to his left, and there's Jordan Love's bag. Jordan Love is already at the stadium working, even though he's not practicing. So that was a great story, and it told me, okay, this guy is going to do everything he possibly can except practice. It also told me, and Sean said this, I don't know if this was the quiet part that he said out loud or not, but he said basically, I know Jordan was pushing to practice. I think it's other people that told him not to. So when you say, I'm proud of him, I agree with you, because the hard thing is to say, no, the risk is too great. My teammates have my back. I need to not practice. The easy thing is that, well, everybody expects me to practice, so I'm going to do it and take the risk. And I know it's not a huge risk, but it is still a risk. But I'm curious, if you and I take off our beat writer hats or our former NFL player hats, are there going to be fans that are irritated with him that think that he's, hey, you're under contract, you should be out there practicing? Like, I try to educate folks as much as I can in this job, and I don't know, there may be some people, and I understand. Look, let me say this. My dad worked in a factory for 40 years. Okay, that's hard work. You know, what I do is not hard work. I am blessed beyond measure that I get to do what I do for a living. But I am not coming to Lambeau Field and risking, you know, getting hit by a car crossing Oneida Street when there's a possibility that Good Karma Brands is going to pay me 20x of what I currently make. I would be in bubble wrap until that contract got done, too. They're not doing that, but the Packers are. $11 million. Crazy money for us non-humans that are our normal humans. Also crazy because when I was looking up your signing bonus on your five-year $33.75 million contract, it was smaller than what Jordan Love's getting paid right now, and he's underpaid at it. But my point is that I understand. You want to be, you think, hey, I go to work every day for what I get paid. This guy should do that too if you're part of that group. But this is different. And the risk, Brian, is to me the biggest thing. And I think it's totally reasonable that he's avoiding it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's probably a faction of the fan base that feels that way, that, you know, he should be out there. This thing's going to get done. What's he worried about? They're not even. Quarterbacks can't get touched. I mean, listen, yes, in theory, you're correct. You are in theory correct. The quarterbacks can't be touched. He is under contract. And yes, $11 million is a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. It is a lot of money. But it, from his point of view and from his agent's point of view, if he does, by some crazy stretch of the imagination, Rashawn Gary gets around the right tackle that is subbing for Zach Tom, and Rashawn Gary, for some reason, slips and slides in as Jordan Love is throwing the football, and his front leg is planted, and he rolls into that accidentally, not intentionally, completely, you know, not malicious at all, which obviously their teammates are not going to do to their quarterback, but it's an accident. Things happen. And something happens to him that he is now out for the year and he does not have that protection. And this is technically the final year of his contract and he cannot play to show his skills. He is now in a very bad position to have to take whatever contract comes his way the following year from whether it's the Packers or another team, and he's on a prove-it deal. And that is a tough position to be in, not just at the quarterback position, but any position. To have to go out there after a bad injury and prove it. And I'm not saying that you don't have to go out there and prove it every year as an NFL player. You do. And the way the Packers, as Jason described my signing bonus from the Green Bay Packers and my contract, they make, with the way they do their contracts, they make guys go out there and earn it every year. And, you know, that's the way they do it in Green Bay, which, hey, it is what it is. But it's a very stressful position to be in. And when you put guys in stressful positions, overly stressful positions, on the football field, sometimes bad decisions get made because there's pressing going on and you're trying to do something, you know, that you normally wouldn't try to do if you're comfortable in a, not in a money situation, but just from a contract situation that, hey, I don't have to go try to be Superman today. I don't have to make sure that, I'll just put it in my terms, if I'm blocking T.J. Watt, I don't have to shut him out 100%. He can't even get a sniff of the quarterback on me, because if you try to do that, you're going to get beat. And so from the quarterback position, you look at it, and a quarterback's trying to press and stress and do everything perfect. He's trying to go 38 for 38 with four touchdowns, and it ends up being four interceptions because he's pressing. He's trying to fit ball. And I know I'm talking way down, like, stuff that will never happen, but that's what you're trying, like, you go into the what ifs in these scenarios, right? Like, especially with the player mentality. And it's just not a what if scenario that you even want to deal deal with. So he's doing the right thing. I know some people may be upset about it, but it's okay. It's going to get done. He'll be back on the field. Yes, he will be making probably, what, five times more than what he's making right now, which, hey, if that's what Green Bay feels like he deserves and he's going to get, that's what he's going to get. No one, it's not based on what you think he should get. It's based on what the team and his representatives try to get. And you know what? If he becomes the highest paid player in the NFL after this deal, great. All we have to worry about now is that he stays healthy and goes out there and shows it. So I'm all for it. I'm all for him sitting out until this thing is done. Risk is completely mitigated, right? There is no risk. And then when he gets this done, it's a huge burden off his shoulders, and he can just go play and be Jordan Love and be the leader of this team that we all expect him to be. And everything is hunky-dory at 1265.
All right, I do want to talk about your options, because I do think it's instructive, even though we're a quarterback. And look, I know Tausch doesn't like me bringing this up, and Tausch has a great life, and everything worked out great. He gets to spend every day with me. I mean, what could anyone ask for more than that? But
agreed.
You don't have to agree. But he blood. Contract years not once but twice. Now that happened in games, but this is a guy who, he would kick my keister if I made it sound like you should feel sorry for him, because I'm not saying that. But he tore his ACL in 2002 when he was in the last year of his contract as a former seventh round pick, and he tore it in 2008 when he was going to be an unrestricted free agent. And if you don't think that impacted his earning ability, you're crazy. And so even though everything has worked out in the end, I don't know, for me anyway, if he doesn't tear those ACLs and he makes so much more money, he's probably not doing this radio show. So it worked out great for me. But the fact of the matter is that is the risk. That's the kind, and he at least did it in games, right? It's not the same as if something were to happen on Ray Nitschke Field and Kenneth Odemegwu is so excited to get a pressure that he trips and falls into Jordan Love's knee. So I hope folks understand that. I understand that there's parts of it that are maybe a little bit like, I go to work every day. I get that, but this is a little bit different. All right, I want to get to Brian's experience back in 2015, because I think it's really instructive. We'll do that next. Want to remind you that the ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football League is back. After a long layoff, this year's draft takes place on Thursday, August 1st at Dave & Buster's in Wauwatosa. And if you want to be part of the fun, this is your chance right now to join the ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football League. Now, Jesse, how many callers do you want to take today?
We want to do three callers today. Three today and three tomorrow.
Three. All right, so let's see. Brian Bulaga wore 75 in Green Bay, and he played 10 seasons with the Packers, or 11?
10.
All right, so we will take caller 5, 7, and 10. 5, 7, and 10 for getting into the ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football League. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Now, look, if you're not available on Thursday, August 1st, check your calendar first. But if you're not available, we love you, but don't call, because we don't want you taking up a spot of somebody who actually can be there. So 5, 7, and 10, 844-770-3776. Full contest details can be found at ESPNWisconsinContest.com. Can't wait to see you at Dave & Buster's in Tulsa on Thursday, August 1st. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Wisconsin's all-time sack leader is finally a Hall of Famer.
Donna led the Big Ten, always revved up to come off that corner.
Congratulations to ESPN Madison's Tarek Saleh, proud member of the UW Athletic Hall of Fame Class of 2024.
In March of 2015, two cornerstone Packers players hit free agency. One was Randall Cobb. The other was Brian Bulaga. The Packers wound up re-signing each of them after the... They didn't have the legal tampering period then. They had real tampering. Like, wasn't it Bart Scott where, like, the Jets showed up on his doorstep at 12:01 a.m. with a contract for him to sign to leave Baltimore?
It was something miraculously like that
had been negotiated. Yeah, I don't know how it got negotiated since you can't negotiate till the window opens. That's why we have legal tampering now. But in 2015, both Cobb and this Bulaga character had the opportunity to leave. You, according to this fascinating piece by this Jason Wild guy who wrote the story back at the time, you had interest from at least four other teams. Cobb said he had interest from five, maybe even six teams. And you both chose to come back to Green Bay. And I want to read this quote from Brian Bulaga. There was obviously more lucrative contracts or more money in other contracts, but you have to weigh your options and make a smart decision, not only for yourself professionally, but also for your family. That's kind of the way I looked at it throughout the entire process. So thank you for your service. You took less, about to turn 26 years old at the time, to stay in Green Bay. I think that's instructive because the Packers love a good bargain, and they love to limit the guaranteed money. So based on your experience and your memories of that in March of 2015, what can you take from your personal experience, even though you weren't a quarterback and the money was a lot less than it is these days, what can you apply to Jordan Love's situation?
Yeah, listen, I get, like you said, the money is extraordinarily different, right? And I was a lowly right tackle and he's a franchise quarterback, but I looked at it, which I'm sure he is as well, and quarterbacks get paid no matter what, right? Like they get paid and they're the most important position and they get their money one way or another. They're getting big bucks, but from his standpoint, there is so much legacy and there's so much, I don't even know what to call it, with being a Green Bay Packer player. Maybe like there's this mystique and there's legacy and there's a lot of pride that comes with it that you want to be there. And I looked at it, which, listen, I stated just a couple seconds ago, like the quarterbacks are getting their money, right? Jordan Love is going to get his money. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of money. But I looked at it that there's something to be said about playing out majority, if not most of your career, not just in one place, but in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It is a place that a lot of people don't, like, especially young players when they're getting drafted, do I really want to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin? It's not like a destination town, but when you are drafted there and you become part of that culture and part of the city that is the Packers and it is Green Bay and the mystique of it, you end up loving it and you end up really enjoying the lifestyle that you get to live there. It is very low key. One thing that I know that I loved about it and that, you know, a lot of guys love about it, it is not overly expensive to live there. I went from Green Bay to LA, like complete contrast in cost of living. And it is very, very different. So, like, you look at it, especially as a young player, you're going into one of the most historic franchises in all of sports, around every sport around the entire world, soccer, football, baseball, basketball. And not only are you making a lot of money, but you're keeping a lot of your money, because it doesn't – the town, as nice as it's become, and I've gone back and it's amazing what they're doing, it's not overly expensive to live there. And you get to save money, and you get to be on a really good team in a really good franchise, which normally don't go hand in hand. It normally doesn't go that way, right? Like, normally the huge market teams are the good teams, and it's very expensive to live there, and it costs a lot of money. Like, you're looking at the Dallases, like, you know, the Giants, all these historic franchises, that it's very expensive to live in these places. And I know that's the financial standpoint of it, and that's what we're talking about. But with Jordan Love, too, I mean, he is going to make so much money, but he's living in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He gets to keep a lot of that money. And then it comes down to your place in history in this franchise, right? Like, it's gone from Favre, Hall of Famer, to Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Famer, and now you're next up. And you showed signs that you can be a special player. And this doesn't happen in professional sports in general, where you go from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, and you can be that guy. You know what I mean? If you continue to improve and play, you can be a Lion. And that is so historic beyond what anybody can even comprehend, that you want to be a part of that. And if that means taking, I don't know, overall guaranteed 10 or 15 less total guaranteed $1 million in his contract for this go-round, I think you do it. Because you know, A, you're going to make that money up on the back end somewhere, right? If you come good on this contract, your next one's going to be even bigger. Like, it really is. And the way that quarterback contracts are going, that it's going to be even more money next time. And you get to put a good team around yourself to help elevate you to that level, that you're competing in the playoffs every year. You're pushing for NFC championships and getting to Super Bowls. If you eat up all the money as a quarterback and leave no room to improve that team around you, it's very hard to win in this league. And I get it's a quarterback-driven league. It always will be. But you need pieces to win. And that's just what it is. Like, you look at the Chiefs last year. Offensive weapons weren't great. But, boy, was that defense unbelievable. That defense was unbelievable. You could argue that the defense won them a Super Bowl.
No doubt.
That's not taken away from Pat Mahomes or anything like that. But that's just the facts of it, right? And if Jordan Love's looking at this from a long-term perspective, which is the way I looked at it as well, you want to be in a place that has a team that's good for a long time, to be part of these runs, to be part of these wins, to be part of history. And I'm sure he's thinking about that, and as the way I thought about it, because for me, I knew what we had in that locker room. I knew what just happened to us in Seattle no more than 3 months before I agreed to this contract. I wanted to be back in that pressure cooker again with this team. I wanted to be with Aaron Rodgers. I wanted to be with Bakhtiari and TJ and Sitton and Corey. I wanted to be part of this group. And it was special to me because I thought we had a really special group of guys and a special team, and I knew that we were going to be in the thick of it every single year. And I couldn't guarantee that to myself going anywhere else. Like, it wasn't like I was getting contract offers from top teams around the league, because it never goes that way, that you get big money offers from top teams, because they don't have those types of needs in cap space, right? Like, it just doesn't really work that way. Like, how McKinney got that huge deal from Green Bay this year is because Jordan Love was on a rookie contract, right? Like, if Jordan Love signs this next deal, which he's going to, you're not going to see the Packers going out into free agency and buying top players at the position, because it's just not, it's not affordable. You can't do it. You can't work it under the salary cap. So you look at it from Jordan Love's standpoint, if I take a little less, and I'm not talking like, you know, $10 million less a year. That's never going to happen. But from the guaranteed standpoint, kind of what Goody talked about yesterday, we need to be able to build a team also if you kind of work with them and allow them to do that, and because you know you're going to make it up on the back end, you can build something really special. And this is a young team. There's a lot of contracts coming up on this team in the next 2 to 3 years of big-time right. players, if we're looking at the thing as a whole. And if you're a quarterback that says, I want every penny I can get, I don't care what it does, the guys like Zach Tom and Jayden Reed and Dobbs, like, you're not going to be able to keep all these guys. It's not possible. Like, there's no way you can do it. So as a quarterback, you got to look at that. And I'm not saying that I was in his position, but I looked at it from, I know I'm going to take a little bit less. And I know that that's going to be the case if I stay here. But if I can do my part, if I take a little bit less, but get to stay in a winning culture on a winning team, and we can add different pieces, man, like, we can continue to be in these playoff races and the NFC North races and push into a Super Bowl year in and year out. And that's what I thought was best for me at the time. And, you know, no, we never got back to another Super Bowl, but we got to a lot of NFC championships and put ourselves in those positions to get there. And to me, that's what I wanted to be in. That's what I wanted to be a part of. And I'm sure Jordan Love is thinking something similar because he understands the talent that's on this team.
Matt LaFleur is at the podium now. We'll get to some of the things he's saying. I want to ask Brian next, though, about the guaranteed money piece. As much as I liked teasing you about your $8 million signing bonus and your $10 million in total pay during the 2015 season, it is something the Packers avoid. They don't want to guarantee any more than they have to. And I think that's one of the areas that is most likely a sticking point, as we discussed on the Homer Hour last night. We'll talk about that with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe better. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Watch every ESPN Madison show live every day. Subscribe to ESPN Madison on YouTube for live video of every show and exclusive content. Just search ESPN Madison.
We got the 10 o'clock hour coming up soon. Matt LaFleur just finished up at the podium inside the Lambeau Field Media Auditorium. But before we get to that and some of your texts that have been coming in to Jesse, who's been curating them. All right, so Brian, I've mentioned this before. The Packers were on the leading edge of the concept of the game-by-game roster bonus, where they put a bunch of money into this roster bonus that is paid out weekly. You play, you're on the active 45 or 46 man roster for the game, you get paid. You're not, because you tore your MCL, or I suppose you could be deactivated for poor performance, but more significantly, more likely because of an injury, you ain't getting that money. So it's not like it's guaranteed that you will get it. And it's another tool that they were on the leading edge of using to give guys money, but to save money if those guys can't play. And I'm sure you look at last season, Jaire Alexander missed 10 games. Pretty sure he had some game-by-game roster bonuses in his contract. He doesn't get any of that. So when you look at your experience and now you look at the Jordan Love component, you believe that guaranteed money is the holdup. And I believe that as well. Why do you think that?
Yeah, I think it's the holdup in this whole thing, and how Green Bay wants it structured and how his team believes it should be structured. And I mentioned it yesterday on the Homer Hour with you, looking at Kenny Clark's deal. Obviously, I don't have the breakdown of it exactly. But we'll say he got $29 million of it guaranteed out of the three-year extension. $24 million mm-hmm. of that is being paid this year. So that means Green Bay only has $5 million of guaranteed money on the line going in the next year. So as much as everyone thinks this was a great move, which I think it was, keeping Kenny under contract. Essentially, a two-year extension. It's a two-year extension off of this year. And it's how does he do? How does he perform? Because next year they'll probably pay out his $5 million in a roster bonus somewhere during the OTA phase, and then he'll have a low base salary next year, probably around $1 million, $1.5 million, if I had to take a guess, knowing how Green Bay operates. And then they're off the hook. Then they're done with guaranteed money, essentially, if you look at it that way. And that's how Green Bay likes to do deals. And during my contract negotiation with them, we finally got to the eight. Let me tell you, it was much lower than that, especially based off me coming off the ACL the prior year. It was much lower than that. Like, and I remember specifically the last day of the tampering period, or non-tampering period technically, I was in my car. I was coming back from a workout in the morning, and I got a call from a Green Bay number. So I pulled over into the community golf course parking lot, and I answered the phone because I knew it had to be someone from 1265, because I had it saved in my phone, 1265, answer the call in my phone, because it was just a basic number that came up when the third floor or the coaches called you.
That's the opposite of how Jeff Passan has me say it. Yes,
exactly. Do not answer. So it literally said, you put as the contact, 1265, answer this call.
Yes, like that was the contact in my phone that I had it saved because I knew it was where the coaches called from and everything like that. and this was the time you and like you mentioned, this was the only time you could only speak to your team in that time. Like, this is how it was during my free agency. You could only speak to the Green Bay Packers. You could only speak to your coaches. And that was the way that the tampering period was at that point in time. So I knew it was someone from the Packers, so I answered it, and it was Coach McCarthy. And he goes, Brian, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm coming home from, you know, a workout. He goes, what's going on with this contract? I'm like, and I just told him flat out, and I'm like, Coach, I'm just being really honest with you. Like, you know, the guaranteed money in this contract is not a good thing for me. Like, this isn't very good. I mean, essentially, this is a one-year deal for me. Like, but it's got 5 years tagged onto it, and it's not a good deal for me, and it's not a good deal for my family. I'm essentially signing 5 years, but I'm playing year to year, and it's not something that is in a positive way for me. Like, it's hard for me to look at what I'm presented today and accept it. Like, it, you know, it's, and he's like, well, you know, and, you know, we went back and forth on kind of what was going on. He goes, all right, you know, let's get this worked out. And obviously I had no impact on what Russ and Tom Condon were talking about, besides when Tom would call me throughout the day and would send me the breakdown of everything. And obviously the number got moved up to the eight that I essentially signed on to. And Tom kind of explained how, yes, it was an $8 million guarantee, but essentially the way it broke down and worked out with other roster bonuses paid out through it, it was essentially a 2 or 3 year deal. And then I had to earn the last 2 years of the contract. They could let me go scot-free essentially throughout those years. And, you know, I looked at it as that's a lot of money. I mean, obviously I was a first round pick with the old CBA, and my first contract was like, I think 5 years, $15 million. And it was already way more money than I ever thought I'd ever see in my entire life as whatever profession. So I already knew I had made a lot of money. I'd saved a lot of money. I wasn't married at that point in time. I didn't have any kids. So it was literally just me in that house. Abby moved up to Green Bay my last year around Christmas. She was already before that. But, like, we didn't have any kids or anything. So it was just her and I.
Right.
And so, like, I'd saved a lot of money. So I already looked at this thing as, like, I've made more money I could ever imagine. If I sign this deal for, you know, only $8 million technically guaranteed, you know, and I end up playing 3 years, I know I'm going to make X amount of this contract. And if I get let go, then I'm back on the market, and we'll see if I'm playing good at that time, if I can get another deal. But at least I got, you know, 8 years in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is fantastic in for me. And it obviously ended up playing out that I played the whole 10 there, and I wish it would have been more, but things play out the way they do. But to me, I think that this holdup is guaranteed money because I don't – someone can maybe fact-check me on this on the sport track contract breakdowns, but I don't believe Aaron Rodgers ever had a per-game bonus in his contracts. I don't think they were ever there. And obviously Aaron had the negotiating power over not only the Packers, but anywhere he went, he had the negotiating power. I mean, the ball was always in his court on how much he wanted, essentially, and how he wanted the contract structured. So there's a chance that Jordan Love's team is looking at that as well and going, well, you didn't do that with this contract, but now you're asking us to take X amount of money in these per-game bonuses, and we are not – budget, like, we're not doing this. Like, this is, you know, it could be that. It could be the way the bonuses and guaranteed is paid out throughout the life of the contract, that maybe in the last year of that deal, there is no guaranteed money, so Green Bay could walk away from it if it doesn't pan out. There's something there. I don't know if it's maybe the amount of guaranteed. It could be the amount. But I think it's the way it's structured, that the team and Jordan Love's representatives aren't on the same page with. And a lot of people, I guess, maybe don't look at it from, you see this big chunk of guaranteed money, whether it's going to be 130 or one set, like, we don't know. But there's something to be said the way it's structured that protects the player.
Right.
And a lot of people may go, well, he's already getting the 170 or 140. What does he care? He cares because it protects you throughout the life of the contract, that in this last year of the deal, maybe there's so much guaranteed money and money in that last year that it's advantageous for the team to renegotiate a new deal. And that gives the player leverage. We're looking at what's happening right now in Dallas with Dak Prescott, right? Like,
totally.
This is exactly the way these things pan out, that the player then has all this leverage over a team in the final year of the deal and can hold them hostage. And Green Bay doesn't want that. But obviously the player wants that, and the team and the representative from the player want that. So that's what I think is happening in this negotiation right now, is we're very unsettled about how this money's going to be paid out and the structure of the guaranteed money. Now, I could be way off, right? I could be – they potentially could be $40 million off in guaranteed money, and I'm way off with my guess here, but – knowing the Packers and how they do their deals, I think it's how it's structured. And they do things different than a lot of other NFL franchises with how they structured guaranteed money, because they don't like giving it out. They want guys to earn it. But these modern-day quarterback deals, it don't work that way, right?
Like, no, it doesn't.
This money's getting paid, and it gets paid out the way the quarterback wants it to get paid out. And Green Bay, you know, they were obviously used to that with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had that leverage. He'd earned that leverage, right? Like, that was something that Aaron had accrued and earned over time, that he could negotiate a contract on his terms. And that's earned. In the back of Green Bay's mind, they may believe that Jordan Love hasn't done that yet, and he still has to play on their rules.
Which is reasonable. It's reasonable for them to think that, based on eight games or 10 games of really high-level play.
Absolutely. 100%. They are justified to think that way. And you know what? That's what makes Green Bay Green Bay. And that's what makes, we'll just say, the Cleveland Browns the Cleveland Browns, right? Like, and that's just, you look at their quarterback deal, very bad. And you look at the way Green Bay does business, very good. So, like, there's a difference with these teams. And obviously, Jordan Love's team looks at it a different way, right? Like, they're looking at it as modern day quarterback, you know, deals. So that could be the holdup. And if that is the holdup, and there's, you know, verbiage and payout, you know, structure, that stuff can get worked out, right? That's something that can get worked out in a good amount of time. Now, if their difference on total guaranteed is off by 40, 50 million, then this could take a while. And that's just the way it is. But I don't think that that's where they're at. Don't think that's where they're at.
As long as it's not as far off as the 9 years between Brian Bulaga signing 5 years, $33.75 million,
with $8 million guaranteed, and Penei Sewell signing 4 years, $112 million with $85 million guaranteed. I will not rub that in. We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour. Both right tackles, both good players.
Yeah.
We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour with Brian Bulaga in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.